May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to church on this Sunday of Trinity. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Prince Singh, and I serve as the bishop in the Episcopal Diocese of Rochester. I've served here now for 9 short years. It is a delight to be here with you. And I wondered if I could begin by giving you a little bit of a sense of what a diocese is. Is that okay? Because diocese is not the kind of word that we hear often, but it's a collection of congregations. So in the Diocese of Rochester, we have 46 congregations. Epiphany is one of 45 or 46. And every congregation is different. We all have the same Book of Common Prayer. We have the same scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. But then we all are different because of our contexts. So you are here in Gates, and you have a stock of experience that has informed how you have defined your own identity. And every congregation, I find, is just uniquely different. All good, but different. And yet we are one diocese. It sort of is in resonance with some of what we are talking about today when we say Trinity. Unity in the midst of a diversity of understanding, even the divine. And what a privilege it is for us to belong in a community of faith that actually tries to practice that. Right? So we are a family of 46 churches. And where one suffers, we all suffer. Where one rejoices, we all rejoice. And everything affects us, if you will. And I think that's why we have a bishop to sort of say, hey, we are family. Right? To sort of hold us together, to remind ourselves that no trouble is too big and no joy is too significantly different for us that we forget everybody else. That's what family is, right? That we make sure that everyone is noticed and valued for who they are, for the gifts they are. And you have probably heard it either in the news or otherwise that somehow all churches are declining and that we are losing our membership. Have you heard that? Right? Right? Well, I'm here to sort of give you a little bit of a different piece of news from some reality. Do you know that the Episcopal Diocese of Rochester in 2016 grew for the first time in 2 decades? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And that's what it's about. At the end of the day, I think people are looking for places where they can come and belong and know that they can grow. Right? Well, when you start thinking in those terms, one, you realize that we are not perfect. Right? I'm not perfect. And I'm guessing that you are not either. If you are, let's talk. But we are a bunch of people who are, as theologically we hear it, saints and sinners. All co-mingled. But we are growing together. One of my favorite books, or the titles of a book when I was growing up, was Where Two or Three Are Gathered Together, Someone Spills the Milk. That sound like family? Right? But we are together as a family. And the expectation is that each of us will be conscious of the other. To us as a family of faith, It begins with our identity in God, who seems to say, and I'm paraphrasing, because I am, you are. We just came in with that beautiful hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. The perfect God who created the whole world and universes that we are not even conscious of comes to be among us, gives to us a sense of our identity. The narrative that we heard from Genesis is just one little piece of description that we are made by God, that we are made in the image of God, that God thought it so important that God would make us in God's image. Because I am, you are. And the rest of our life, every one of us, is the project of how we figure out how to be more like that image, right? How can we be more and more like the image of God with which we were made? Now, that's the whole process. I like to think of life as a work in progress. My wife says that to me. It's a work in progress. We each are a work in progress. And when we do that, there's very little pressure, right? Because we're not sort of thinking that we are perfect and that somehow we are worthy of God's attention. You know what? God gives us attention regardless. God seems to love us regardless. That's the good news. That's our identity. It's as if God was saying, because I am, you are. Can you receive that gift? Can you take that for yourself? Because then, knowing that we are called to be like God, we can behave like God wants us to behave. More and more. To be imagined or reimagined constantly by a God who loves us is then to live it out, to do what is important. What is important to God? And to be more and more about reflecting that love out of which we are made. That's the next part of our identity. It's not only are we called to be, because God says, I am and you are. We are then called to do what is important. Scripture tells us very clearly there are some ways in which we are supposed to actually practice that. In the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, we hear this beautiful progression. Listen to my appeal. Put things in order. Agree with one another. There's a concept. Right? Have you tried that? That's hard, right? How many times have you bitten your tongue and went, oh, I can do much better than that, right? How many times have you watched something just break down so badly just because people couldn't see eye to eye? It's happening constantly, and it's almost live every day. Whether it is in our communities, whether it is in our larger politics, there seems to be so much that we disagree on. And God in Christ seems to invite us to practice what it means to be agreeable. Not that we will all agree on everything. I haven't met a bunch of Episcopalians who agree pretty much on anything. But there seems to be a bond of affection that draws us together. We are able to come to the Lord's table knowing that we are loved, that we are family, despite the differences that we have. And I think that is probably the core of our identity that we want to nurture more and more. When we confirm and affirm and reaffirm our faith, and together as a community of faith, when we stand and reaffirm and re-own the baptismal covenant, it is our deepest desire that we reflect more the image of God with which we are made. And so, my friends, this is probably the most exciting part of the journey, where God seems to trust that we will do what is necessary. Because if you look at the progression of what I just read, which was put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and then Paul says, the God of love and peace will be with you. Did you catch that drift, that sort of progression? Start behaving like you are made in the image of God, and the peace of God will be with you. Right? It's as if God is saying, I want you to be responsible. I want you to take responsibility for your life. You don't have to be responsible for anybody else. But if you can be responsible for you, and if every person is responsible for their life, what a world this would be. Because then we are not blaming somebody else, right? We seem to be very comfortable saying, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. What does that get us? Where does that move us as a community? And God seems to have this dream that we will actually start behaving out of responsibility. And that just means that when I mess up, I say, oops, I'm sorry. I did not think that's how I was sounding. I cannot imagine I said it that way. Instead of saying, oh, just because I said it, now I have to defend myself. You see what I'm saying? Human breakdown actually happens in real time just because of a little bit of ego and a little bit of half-truth. And you put those two together and suddenly you've got people defending each other and saying, oh my God, I'm right, you're wrong. God is showing us a different way. As Episcopalians, one of the things we hold very dear is that we prefer the middle way. Have you heard that before? Via media, which means middle way, which just means we don't like extremes. We try to bring people to the center, to the middle, because there's truth everywhere, right? There's no absolute truth, but there's truth everywhere. So bringing people to the middle is a very important part of how we are trying to live out our faith. Why did the Episcopalian cross the road? Anybody? To get to the middle. And that doesn't mean that we don't believe very passionately about things. We do. Precisely because of that, we are called to be a people who will be reconciling of the extremes so that no one is an outcast. No one is a stranger. Everyone matters. Everyone belongs. And we, as a people of faith, are invited to practice that. I'm almost through, but I want to finish with this story. When I was in college in India, I was a part of a group called Faith and Light. Faith and Light was a community of mostly young people who had challenges. Many of them had Down syndrome, and my priest had invited many of them to come for confirmation classes. And so we would meet every week, and we usually had an exercise. I will never forget this particular exercise, where the priest gave us all sheets of paper and said, draw something to depict the Trinity. Right? So we all got creative. We sat and drew stuff. And then we had to show and tell. So every one of us went around. My neighbor was Susan Mathai. She was about 21, had Down syndrome. And Susan had one line. It was just one line. But it was a squiggly line. So when we had to explain, we went to Susan and said, what is this, Susan? And Susan said this, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Susan. I went to seminary, I didn't understand the Trinity. That I understood. What she had done was place herself in the communion of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Put your name in it. You are a part of everything divine from God's perspective. And as you renew your vows and as you come into this sort of reaffirmation, as you are confirmed in your faith, I hope you will take that to heart. That somehow your life matters to God. And your gifts matter to God. So live it with that sense of clarity, that you will never be lost in the presence of God, and that God seems to think that you are worth it, that you are a part of God's love. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.